No? That is awesome. And again, yeah, the kids are going to be dismissed in a minute. But I would say kids and adults, invite your friends, young and old, to this Christmas musical. A lot of kids, a lot of families are looking for Christmassy things to do around Christmas time. So I'd encourage you, have a week to go ahead and say, hey, there's a Christmas musical at our church, and no sermon, and so no offering, and you can just come and enjoy yourself and begin the Christmas season. So anyway, I'd encourage you, kids and adults, invite at least a few people, and let's fill this place, all right? So kids, go ahead and be dismissed. It's great to worship with you. You're going to go and study God's Word, and we're going to stay in here and study God's Word as well. Worship and the Word of God. That's what Sunday is all about. All right. Let me lead you in a word of prayer. And then let's get into the Christmas season together. So, Lord, thank you for a great morning of worship. Thank you for the solid theology that we already were able to express together as a church family. God, thank you that when we look through the lens of your big story and we read the Bible, it really does come alive. Ever since Genesis, all the way through to Revelation, there's one story. It's a story of redemption. It's a story of rescue from Genesis 3 on. And God, thank you that we have an opportunity this morning to get excited yet again that there's something larger than ourselves to live for. So, Father, I pray that this Christmas season, as we begin it this morning, the first Sunday of December at Grace Point Church, there would be something that you would spark in all of us. And this month would be a month of growth for us as we anticipate Jesus' birthday. And God, it starts this morning. It starts right now as we study your word together. So be with us, speak to us, and give us the power to apply what you say. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good to see you. Glad that you're here. Isn't this great? So much giftedness is around our church and multi-talented people. And so we released a few folks to do this. And all I heard was there's going to be a hope sign. I said, that sounds good. Hope's a good word. But man, that's awesome. So, and it's going to build as we get closer to Christmas Eve. So we're excited for that. If you have a Bible, I say this every Sunday, please turn to Luke, imagine that. But instead of Luke 22, where we've been there, we're going to go back to Luke 2. And I'm going to go ahead and start a little mini-series on the Christmas story. But I'm going to go ahead and dial into not just the story of the first manger scene, where basically it was a group of shepherds and Mary and Joseph and Jesus, that's basically all that were there in some backyard cave. We're going to take a look at these characters afresh in this Christmas season. And like myself, I'm very confident that God's going to speak to you, not about the Christmas story only, but if we have ears to hear, God's going to speak to you about your story, about how God is still looking for shepherds, Josephs, and Marys, okay? We're going to look at these people. God hasn't changed. Their opportunity was unique. It really, really was. But how God moves and how God invites and how they respond is not unique. It's all God, and God is still the same. So that's what we're going to do. I've enjoyed now for many, many years casting a Christmas story to our community, to our church now, ever since our church started. And actually, I kind of, this past week, looked at how Mary and Joseph trotted all the way down to Bethlehem. I'm going to share with you a little bit about how Rhonda and Bobby trotted all the way down to San Diego. And they had a donkey, we had a U-Haul, okay? And but I tell you, totally different calling. Same God, same opportunity to follow. So we're going to talk about that. And our story is not unique. It's your story as well. the Christmas story, as we get into Luke chapter 2, as we look at the next couple weeks, is full of surprises. I love how God orchestrated the whole thing, and no one would have come up with who and how this unfolded other than God. I don't think the angels got it. I know the Romans and the scholars and even the participants, they would not have even chosen themselves. But God chose them. So surprise moments with God's inspiration, it's not unique. God has surprised you over the years through what He has led and what He has allowed. Why are we so surprised when we are surprised? And God leads and He builds trust along the way. So that's what we're going to do. And there's a lot of things going on here. So let's take a look at this story of surprises. And again, let's start with the shepherds. No one would have chosen the shepherds other than God. These guys were outcasts, literally. They were out of the city because they smell, okay? And they handled the sheep, and literally they were dirty, and they had no social network. They had no financial capabilities. They had no credible reputation in the Jewish community. Why on earth would God speak to them to say, "You guys are my first messengers that the angels are going to speak to"? I would not have chosen the shepherds. If there was a committee in heaven and if there was a vote, I don't think the shepherds would have gotten in, okay? But God, and I love this, God knew these shepherds, just as God knows you. And God knew their potential, and I believe the choices that they made leading up to that night. We're going to unpack that just a little bit this morning. So here we go. Take a look. Luke chapter 2. On your outline, as always, I want to give you some truth handles so you can pick up and take it home. And the large truth is Christmas wants you to get closer to Jesus. You're going to see this all the way through. Christmas is all about Christ. And if you don't get closer to Jesus this coming month, you're going to miss Christmas. The shepherds got closer to Jesus. Mary and Joseph experienced Jesus. Matter of fact, God invites people to embrace Jesus. So it's not all the other stuff that's going to be clamoring for your attention. The question this month is, how can I get closer to Jesus? And so it's all about Him, and that's what we're going to do. And I'm going to give you opportunity this morning to write a couple things down so that starting right now, this Advent season, Advent means to anticipate the coming of Jesus, you can be a better Adventer. You can be a better mover towards Jesus starting this week, all right? So here we go. Let's take a look at this. I'm calling them GOs and God opportunities, okay? God brings opportunity to all of us, just as He did back then. They and we have volitional will, and they can say no, so can you, so can I. So here we go. Let's take a look at this. Here's the first of seven insights I want to unpack with you, and then hopefully you and I can take these home. Here's the first part, God opportunities are closer than you think. God opportunities are near wherever you are. You know why? Because God is aggressive. God is active. God is on the move in a broken world. And in a crowd this size, it's a good bet that some of you are thinking, I just am not in a place, I'm not in a position where God opportunities are nearby. Certainly not at Qualcomm, certainly not on the soccer field, certainly not in that classroom, certainly not in that home, and you would be wrong. God opportunities are nearby because God is near. And God is working in people's lives. And so here we go. Let's take a look at this. God operates nearby. Where am I getting this? Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Again, as always, we even order some more Bibles for the Christmas season. Grab a Bible. Please, please, please don't go through December with a borrowed Bible, okay? If you're borrowing one this morning, have it, own it, put your name on it. It's our gift to you. And then circle some things along the way. And I'd encourage you to do that. So Luke, in the New Testament, Luke chapter 2, I want to encourage you to underline a few words that basically shouted out to me this last few weeks. So let's start at Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Insights from a hillside. Right outside of Bethlehem, there are a series of hills. And here we go. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds. Now, again, we're not going to do a lot of the backstory here. God is moving and God is stirring. And while a lot of things were happening, there are these shepherds out on a hillside. And that's, we're going to get more context of that as we go on through this month. But and in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. The first word I would encourage you to circle or underline is out. Out in the fields. They were not feeling, they were involved in what God is doing and what things are happening. They're out in these fields taking care of these sheep like they've done every night for many, many months, if not years. But all the hubbub is somewhere else. In the city, the census and the politicians and the scholars and the family reunions, it was all happening in all the homes. And these shepherds were thinking, you know what, we're missing it. There is nothing substantial going on out here. It's all going on in there. Have you ever felt like that? You know, honestly, I feel like everybody has this plan that God's doing, but I'm on the outs. And God doesn't even know where I am. I'm kind of just stuck on this hillside, stuck in, dot, dot, dot. You would be wrong. God knows where you are. And the Bible says that God is wooing you, drawing you right where you are to get involved with Him. So God opportunities back then and today are nearby. And I'm going to do a little side sermonette just for a few moments, and then we're going to get back to the story. One of the ways that every single one of us have God opportunities nearby is because every one of us is around people around the Christmas time that are struggling emotionally. Because holidays are hard. I am so glad that one of our members this morning who lost her husband is starting a grief ministry this morning. It's either meeting right in this service or the second service, but it's starting this morning. And I'm so glad that our church is not just painting smiley faces on ourselves and expecting other people to do the same. It's really something about sadness. It is amplified around holidays. So I hope that you and I, around the neighborhood, going shopping, walking the dog, going to work, wherever, there are sad people that are having a hard time hiding it during the holidays. God, give us eyes to see where we can bless others, love someone, give someone a hug that most people will miss. We all have God opportunities this month to love those who feel lonely during the holidays, who are suffering loss during the holidays. And that's a ministry. That is a ministry for all of us. So let's go ahead and move on. So God opportunities are nearby. The shepherds were thinking, you know what? Nothing's going to happen out here. I wish I was in there. And there's no way anything of substance is going to happen on this smelly hillside. They and we would be wrong. God knows right where you are. I tell you, the stories the Bible are filled with where God found people, engaged people, where they thought they would never have anything to do of any meaning. So that's number one. Let's go ahead and move on. What you learn in seminary is you learn to say chapter 2, verse 8a, okay? And then the next verse is chapter 2, verse 8b. And you think, boy, this is going to be a long sermon. He's not even doing verse by verse, you know. And so we'll pick up steam, okay? So God opportunities also, and this is huge throughout the Bible. I love how the Christmas story is just filled with the theology that is throughout the whole Bible. Let me tell you what God is big on. God is big, big, big on faithfulness right where you are. And God opportunities come to the faithful. I would say more God opportunities come to the faithful. If you and I are being faithful right where we are with the responsibilities, opportunities, roles that we already have, the Bible says if you're faithful now, I'll give you an opportunity to be faithful again with another opportunity, maybe even a greater challenge. But here's the problem with many. Well, I'm going to save myself for something greater. I'm going to go ahead and park my giftedness, park my passion for something that is worthy. Listen to me. Some of you, clean the toilet right in front of you. Love that person right beside you. Engage that obstacle blocking you. Don't wait to be faithful. Faithfulness isn't always fun. But faithfulness is a requirement for God to go ahead and continue to move. God, opportunities come to the faithful. Where do I get that? Let's look at chapter 2, verse 8b, okay? First one I underlined for me is out. They were out. Oh, nothing's going to happen out here. And we're going to miss it again. Listen to all the hubbub. No. God found them, and God gave them opportunity right where they were. But also, keeping watch over their flock by night. Keeping watch, okay, is the second of the seven. Keeping watch. You know, my guess is they would have been tempted. You know what? These sheep will be just fine. Let's just kind of rope them up to some rock, okay, and let's get in there. My family's in there. We got parties that are happening in there. And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and who are they going to fire me? They can't hire anybody else. We're doing, you know. So I'm going to go ahead and just park my responsibilities, and I'm going to go enjoy myself and get in on where life is happening. If they would have been unfaithful being shepherds that night, they would have missed it. Let me tell you something. I could do a whole year series on the importance of you being faithful right now as a student, as a parent, as a professional, wherever you have responsibilities. Lord, what does faithfulness look like? How can I be faithful now? Trusting you that, you know what? This is not going to be, no one knows I'm doing this. It's just me and a bunch of smelly sheep. God sees. And God knows how faithful you are. Some of you, you can think back to another shepherd moment in the Old Testament where you got this runt of the litter, runt of eight kids. His name was Dave. And he's out on a hillside, and all he's doing is defending these sheep from the wolves and the wild animals. He's learning how to sling a stone. He's learning how to do what he's told to do. He's learning how to be under authority. And that is the number one throughout Scripture means of preparation for you to one day be in authority. Good leaders are good followers. And so David is out there, and God sees him. God smiles every time he's honing his skills, learning faithfulness. And that's why when it was time to pick the king, everyone was surprised but God. I've seen Dave all along. He's my guy. Listen to me. Some of you, you're wondering if your faithfulness is worth it. At that job that you thought you would be out of by now, or at this or at that, be faithful. God might move you, but listen, may your passion not be dependent on whether or not God's going to move you sooner than you'd like. Be faithful now. It's a gift that you can give back to God, and he will give back to you. God opportunities come to the faithful. These shepherds didn't just kind of wait just for a little while and run into the party scene of Bethlehem, but they stayed out in the fields, and they kept watching over their flock by night. God opportunities come to the faithful. Hey, let's go to the third one. I love this. So you're out there. You might be thinking that no one knows you. You would be wrong. And this faithfulness doesn't really matter. We would be wrong. But here's where the test comes in. When God speaks, typically it's challenging. It's not what you would think. It's going to stretch you. It's going to be something that's going to take a greater level of trust, because God always moves you to mature. All the way through Scripture, God doesn't move you when He doesn't stretch you. And so, can you imagine? Now, we've seen the Charlie Brown thing, and we've seen the story. We've watched the video. We've even read the story. It would have been something to live it. I mean, let's put ourselves on a smelly, lonely hillside. Let's listen in, all right? So Luke chapter 2, 9 through 14. Aren't you glad I didn't say 9a? Okay, so let's go ahead and keep it. Let's speed up like I promised. Luke chapter 2, verse 9. So, and an angel of the Lord, my guess is they've never seen one up until now. You know what? Sometimes angels come in forms, and the Bible says so. This floating body, it would have freaked them out. It would have freaked you out. This angel, literally means messenger, okay? So this messenger of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord, the kabod, the substance of God's presence, shone around them. Amazing. And they were filled with great fear. That is encouraging, okay? They're just normal guys like you and I. Verse 10, and then this angel spoke and said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. That's good, so many good things there. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, that would be Bethlehem, city of bread, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. I don't want you to miss him, so let me tell you how to find him, all right? And God's good at that, then and now. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's where it probably got a little weird. They didn't anticipate that. Well, the best place for a newborn king would not be in Podunk, Bethlehem. It would be in Jerusalem. It'd be in the palace. So I'm sure they're scratching their heads. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. What? And then suddenly there was this multitude of angelic choir, angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he has pleased. Peace on those who place their lives in God's hands. I'd encourage you, I bet you for all of us, starting with me, there are situations and there are statements of Scripture, there are opportunities to trust God that we're struggling with. Because things aren't happening as fast, things aren't changing, there's more killing in this broken world, and there's all kinds of stuff. This is a messed up place. And why isn't God acting sooner, faster, more, however you do that? It's stretching to walk with God in 2014. It will be stretching to walk with God in 2015. It was stretching to hear this crazy story in this original setting. The baby's coming in Bethlehem in a manger, and this can't be true. Are we hallucinating? Is it too light? All that kind of stuff. Hear me. I want you to not just enjoy the Christmas story. I don't want you to miss your story. So where is God stretching you to believe, to trust, to obey? Well, I'm only going to do it if it makes complete sense. You'll miss out. I was counseling another couple who's soon to be married in our church, and we went through again this past week a few passages in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I said, listen, trust God more than yourself. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And I encourage these people, listen, don't marry on a potential of what they might do later. Is that already a pattern in their lives? If not, I'd encourage you, take a good look at that. I think for us too, we're always in that fork in the road. I know what God says. I know what God prompts me and what obedience looks like, but it sure didn't feel right. It doesn't even make sense. Everything else in me and culture wants me to say, this is the correct way. What are you going to do? These shepherds could have said, that's ridiculous. This is not going to happen. I think we're going to go ahead and stay out here. And they would have missed it. God's opportunities will stretch your thinking. And let me give you a couple of verses here. And I'm going to tell you a little story for me. You don't have to turn here. But you can if you like to. Isaiah 55 and then Isaiah 58. So if you're in Luke, go to the left. And Isaiah is pretty much right in the middle of your Bible. And you'll find it, or the table of index I still use every now and then, okay? And so Isaiah chapter 55 is where we're going to be. If you get to Isaiah 54, you've gone too far to the left. That's a tough crowd, you know? So yeah. So Isaiah 55. We've looked at this passage before. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, Johnson. Neither are your ways my ways, Bob. Sometimes he uses my last name and first name. Declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, that's pretty high, and so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Why would I be surprised when I can't fit God between my ears? When God directs me to do something, believe in something that doesn't make complete sense in a place where I'm so limited. Last couple of weeks, I've done two funerals. The last one was Margie, who's a member of our church. Her mom is Cynthia. She was 105 years old. It was my honor to be her phone buddy for the last couple of years. And then she finally passed away. And so I had the privilege to facilitate Cynthia's funeral. And I challenged the folks standing where her body would be buried. I said, listen, reality is more than we can see. Reality includes what we see. But there are truths we don't see. We're not here to bury Cynthia. This is the tent. This is the elderly body where Cynthia and her spirit resided. And now she is more alive. And we talked that through. Friends, if we just confine reality to what we can see, that's stupid. That's just some pastor trying to make people feel better so they can go ahead and be less sad. It's kind of what Karl Marx said. It's really the opiate of the people. It's just a little drug to make you feel a little better. And then when you get down, recite another poem. No. Listen to me. You have a choice to live only believing what you see and even completely understand, or have a little bit broader perspective. Christmas will truly, if you let it, blow your mind. It's a crazy story. And we're going to talk more about that and on Christmas Eve. So, for me, for Rhonda, turn over from, if you're at Isaiah 55, go to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. One of the ways that God has spoken to me through the years is through God's word and godly counsel. And we're not going to do the whole story here. Rhonda and I had a word from the Lord as we were graduating seminary, as we were doing several other ministries, to come out and start a church, plant a church. Our first Sunday at Canyon Hills Community Church, now Grace Point Church, same church, was February of 1992. And we drove out here. They were on a donkey. We were on a U-Haul. Okay, work with me. But here's the deal with that. We did not have all the answers. We did not have all the details worked out because God didn't give it. If we would have said, listen, I want to know how the first year is going to be provided for. I want to know if there's anybody out there that's going to be interested in starting a new church with us. There were no details that God gave specifics to. But here's one of the passages that God said, Bob, I want you to claim. And it's Isaiah chapter 58, verse 10 and 11. It says this. And boy, I tell you, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually. You know why I'm going to need to guide you continually? Because it's going to be daily manna for a while. And you're going to not see as far as you'd like to. And satisfy your desire in scorched places. That's what I would interpret San Diego. And make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. I can tell you more about that. I'm not. But let me tell you something. There's no specifics in that. It's just basically promise. But it was more general than full of details. And God basically led us to come on out here in a U-Haul truck, one-way ticket. I tell you, we got a U-Haul that was very, very cheap because at that time, everybody was moving out of San Diego. And matter of fact, what they needed was more U-Hauls in San Diego so they can people can move more out of San Diego. So we basically got a U-Haul for half price because there were no U-Hauls here. Everybody's leaving. And here we come. Every time I see a U-Haul around San Diego, I still think, what were we thinking? You know? And we were believing and we were trusting. And God has been faithful all along the way. And good stuff. We didn't have to do that. It would have been disobedient to not come. And we would have missed you. And we would have missed the maturity that God slowly is developing in us. So there it is. God still prompts. God still moves. And there will be risks along the way. Not everyone will agree with how you're going to be obeying God, certainly in our case. And but you look back and there will be a faithful journey. I got to quickly, though, walk you through a couple of things because some of you type A people think that's great, man. The higher the risk, the louder God is speaking. Not necessarily so, okay? And some people, man, you believe that faith is always measured in the highest adrenaline experience, and that's just not true. Sometimes faithfulness is just walking one more lap around Mount Sinai, just being faithful right where you are. Let me give you a couple things. This is another little side sermon. We'll come back. Listen to me. Guidance, guidelines, the greater the change, the more confident you should be, the more clear you should be. You look all throughout Scripture. When God gave the law, all the laws, it was on Mount Sinai with thunder and volume. And it was no mistake that God was speaking, giving this fledgling, slave-ridden community called the Jewish people a new set of laws. When God ushered in Jesus's birth, amazing miracles, angelic choirs, there was no mistake that this was really happening. When Jesus began his ministry, it was the baptism that John the Baptist saw, where something like a dove descended. It was amazing. When Jesus ushered in the new covenant, it was with this crazy death and resurrection. When the Holy Spirit was finally released onto planet Earth because the wrath of God was satisfied, you had Pentecost. I mean, amazing moments. Listen to me. The greater the change, the more confident you should be. When God and I had this conversation, and Rhonda and I and God about planting this church, there were a series of confirmations from counsel and from the Word of God that this is of me. And listen to me, inspiration and indigestion, all right, feels the same, okay, a little bit, okay? So you got to decide whether or not it's inspiration from God or pizza last night, okay? And so that's why you got to be involved in a church. That's why people have to get to know you. And they can ask you questions, and it can be confirmed over time. Greater the change, the more confident you should be. So don't pick up and move to Pango Pango on a whim. You think God's doing it. Quiver in your liver. Slow it down. And where God guides, He's going to continue to confirm. And so here's another one here. Where God leads, He does precede. Precede. He goes before you. He will never guide you somewhere where He's not already there at work. I love that. All kinds of mission stories. My next trip is going to be in Thailand. I'm going to leave January 7th. And I'm going to go all by myself and go find this rural place. And there's going to be a compound where these beautiful, hungry missionaries are going to be there. And I'm going to spend and have the privilege of investing some time to do some training. And but I'm sure glad when I get on Chiang Mai, I think that's the airport, there's going to be a guy with a poster. It's going to say Johnson on it. And listen to me. There are times when you're going to go. You need to trust where God guides. He precedes. So many stories in this church that God moved before we got there. When we arrived, Rhonda and I, in San Diego, I spent 4 nights at least serving for the first 4 or so months, just not breaking down doors. We're starting a church and you're going to come whether you like it or not because you need Jesus. I didn't do that. I knew that God was stirring hearts, and some were responding and some were waiting for this new church to be. every night, not every one, but every night, every single night, there was at least one person that I met knocking on their door saying, you know what? We were thinking lately, we need to start attending a church. Story after story after story. And we just saw how God preceded, and that was part of his blessing on us. All right, here we go. And those who follow, find the way. You want to find more God's way for your life? Do it now. Trust him. Obey him. Step out and do what he tells you. Because those who follow find the way. I think one of the greatest fears in most Christians, I'm afraid, Pastor Bob, of missing the will of God. Listen to me. An obedient Christian will not miss the will of God. Only those who know what God wants them and they're saying, no, you will miss God's ideal, his will for you. Some of you are thinking, you know what? I don't see what eternal impact this is happening, but the best I know, I'm obeying God with the relationships, with the roles, with the job. I feel like I'm just stuck on this hillside and it's just a little bit of sheep. I thought I was made for much more, all that stuff. But the best I know, God, I'm fully obeying you. You are right in the middle of God's will. Don't trust your gut. Trust the word of God. And God can find you. And God is preparing you more than you know for that assignment and the next. All right? So those who follow God, find more of God's way. You do not have to fear this morning, am I missing the will of God? Are you obeying God right now? If you are, some of you, settle your soul. God, I, best I know, I'm right where you want me to be. It's harder. It's longer. Sometimes it's even drier than I thought. But I'm right where you want me to be. And I'm obeying you best I know. Because God's very good at convicting of sin. That is one of the primary ministries of the Holy Spirit. And if God is not convicting you, you just be faithful. God knows what he's doing. All right. I said that was a little side sermon. That turned into be a real sermon, yeah? So let's go ahead and move back. Number four. The last two are my favorite, so we're still kind of getting there. Number four, God opportunities are not forever. Then and today, it is very real. Listen to me. God's ideal will for you in the daily movements of your life often are not experienced. Can you miss God's idea? Yeah, absolutely, because you have volitional will, okay? Now, God will make sure you get to heaven, and we can talk about sovereignty issues. But here's the deal. I believe that you and I have both missed some opportunities to experience God's movement because we delayed. Now, there are other opportunities until God takes you home. But let me tell you something. You're on this hillside, and the angel spoke to the shepherds. There was a shelf life to that opportunity because Jesus was going to be born that day to fulfill all kinds of great stuff. If they would have had all their committees and all their paralysis of analysis and waited for everyone to agree, I wonder if there were some shepherds on the hillside saying, you guys are a bunch of idiots. We're staying here. You're going to get fired. You know, we don't know all the details, but here's the deal. If God speaks clearly, seize the opportunity. When you know it's inspiration, not indigestion, and God can give that calmness in your heart, in your spirit, then you need to go. Take a look at Luke chapter 2, verse 15. Back to Luke. So when the angels went away from them into heaven, I love this. The shepherds said to one another, let us go. I circle that. Let us go. They didn't just sit around and think, well, that was cool. Let's get back to our lives. Go, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Let us go. Don't wait to obey. Opportunities have shelf lives. And for some of you, don't live in condemnation. Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Listen, grieve over missed opportunities. You know what? I believe God prompted me. I believe God gave me an opportunity. And I said, no, it's just not the right time. I'm not the right person. Blah, blah, blah. We've all done that. Listen to me. Lord, would you forgive me for the fear, for the hesitation, for whatever. But now, God, thank you that I'm still on a path of obedience and there's still opportunities for me because I'm not home yet. You haven't taken me home, so there's more opportunity. But be quick, more quick to respond. I love how this church is set up to respond to God's audibles. Okay? We do not have everything planned 1,000 years in advance. Man, we sure we have a plan, we have purpose, we have values, we have infrastructure. But man, when there is a call, when there is an opportunity, we responded. And there's all kinds of opportunities for that. Some of you, it came up pretty quick. There's all kinds of like that. We found out that a number of policemen, the last few months of 2014, basically had ill-equipped armor. And they had no budget for that. And so Miles McPherson, one of the pastors who knew a buddy in the place, and goes, you know, and he said, good night. We can do that. Who's we? I'm sure there's a bunch of churches in San Diego. We'll pay for those. No, you guys, why would you do that? And so one little email came out. And hey, if you're a church and if you love Jesus, no, they didn't do that. The guilt thing, you know. They didn't have to. I said, listen, you know what? Our police are wearing inferior armor. And if you would give, if you're this size, give this. If you're this size, give this. If you're this size, then give this. But let's go ahead and make sure our cops are protected. That was a no-brainer. Tons of churches. We did that. And we invested. And it was a gift with no strings attached to the policemen that are basically bearing civil authority for our city. We didn't have to go through all that stuff. It was basically a moment. We did it. And so anyway, good stuff. God's opportunities aren't forever. And I'd encourage you to go ahead and seize the day. Here's another one. Well, this is pretty cool. If you Google statue of opportunity, this is just for fun. There literally is a Greek statue, ancient statue, that looks just like that. Kind of weird, huh? And what's going on here? You have the statue of opportunity where the hair is only from the front. And he's bald in back, okay? And usually, these days, we have hair here and bald here, but it's opposite, okay? And so what's that? So when an opportunity runs at you, if you don't grab it by the hair, when it passes you, there's nothing but baldness. There's nothing to grab. He says, listen, when opportunities come, you better grab it now instead of, well, I'm going to just go ahead and think. Oh, I should have. It's gone. You know what? Someone else will grab it. Do you know that God's going to build his church? God's going to redeem people. God's going to rescue people. He doesn't have to use you. He wants to use you. He wants to use you to reach your neighbor. He wants to use you to launch that ministry and do that. If you don't, you lose. All right? We lose at Grace Point Church. And so again, God opportunities are not forever. We got to grab them. And we are. Good stuff. Let's go ahead and move on. Number five. I love this. These last few are worth sticking around for. God opportunities, they connect you with others. I want to go back to the manger scene for you. You know what happens when you walk with Jesus? There are times you think you're just plain crazy. Matter of fact, some people that you work with, even live with, thinking you're nuts. You're doing that with your time. You're doing that with your money. You're believing that. I mean, you're out of this world. That's just crazy. You're one of those religious. That's. You know, Jesus wore those negative labels with honor. And some of you have the same opportunity. But you know, the shepherds are out there. This is crazy. No one's going to believe us. Not only have we no credibility, this is the craziest story ever. But we're going to go ahead and do what he said, this angel. And so we're going to go to Bethlehem. And guess what? There was a manger. And let's read about it. And then let me go ahead and unpack a little bit. Luke chapter 2, verse 16. So let us go, verse 15. That opportunity was not waiting for them, but they grabbed that hair and they went for it. Verse 16, and they went with haste, love that, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Now, I found this little picture here. You got the little shepherds, you got baby, and you got Mary and Joseph, yeah? That's pretty much it. No wise man. They came much later and all that. Think about this. Silent night, holy night, no crying. I doubt all that. I bet you they looked a lot more tired. Mary probably looked way more tired than that angelic figure and a little bit scared. What on earth am I doing? Joseph is completely overwhelmed. You're going to hear more about Mary next week. And we're going to hear more about Joseph the week after that. But they were just normal people, okay? And it wasn't a quiet night. Here's how I think it happened. The shepherds were nervous. You know what? They're going to think we're weird. So then they walk in and they see this couple, and it's kind of a private moment, and they're barging in. You're not going to believe this, you know? And sorry for the smell, although it didn't smell that great where you are too, yeah? And so we're out there on the hillside. We're a bunch of shepherds, and, you know, this floating figure spoke and told us to find you, to find a you get the story? Now, here's the deal with that. I believe this is why you need to be in a small group, because other people need to know they're not the only crazy people believing God. Can you imagine how that ministered to Mary? Mary's freaking out. I mean, she's a godly woman. You hear more about her. She's great, okay? And I bet you she's just started crying. How God is speaking. And then when the shepherds said, we don't blame you if you don't believe a thing we just said. I bet you Mary with some tears, you know, I believe you. Let me tell you what happened to me. See, that's what small groups are about. Let me tell you what happened to me. I was minding my own business. I was on another hillside. I was anticipating a life that was going in a totally different direction. Nice, quiet, calm life. An angel spoke to me and said, I'm going to be pregnant. And no one's believed me. She probably gets a glare to Joseph, yeah? And then all the journey. Well, then Joseph, well, let me tell you what happened to me. We've all heard from angels. God spoke to me. I really wasn't sure what to believe when Mary said this, but all that kind of thing. Here's the deal. God puts together crazy people. People that love Jesus, that want to lean in the right direction, because God connects people that follow him. God connects you to others. And that's what this church is all about. You will not go far when you go alone, because you're going to be convinced you are crazy, and it's not worth it, and it's too uphill, and you're going to get around some other people, and they're doing the same thing with their time, talent, and treasure, and that'll be enough to get you to take one more obedient step. And I love that. I wish I would have been there. That's one of those moments I wish I could have been a fly on the wall to see how they introduce each other. And see the relief of Mary. And boy, this is really happening. God really is doing good. We're going to be okay. God connects you to others. All right. Last two. This is what will happen if you do the first five. Okay. The first five. You can look at that. Here's what will happen if you do the first five. Here's the first one. God opportunities prompt you to share with other people. I think some of you. You know what? I just don't share with people. Some people I work with, live with, they don't even know I'm a Christian. They don't even know I go to church. And honestly, I wish I could share more. I'm just not like that person that is more of an extrovert. All that. Let me tell you something. God wants every one of us to be audio, visual Christ followers. And for some of you, the reason why you have not shared more is you have not experienced as much of God's presence in your life that he wants you to experience. Where do you find God's presence? It's not a little emotional, sensational moment. It's an obedience. You obey God and more faith comes your way. Here's the deal. God will prompt you to share with others after you experience him in a powerful way. That's what happened in this story. Take a look at Luke chapter 2, verse 17 through 19. These shepherds had no respect. They had no right in Jewish law to tell anyone what was true. They would not, because they're ceremonially unclean. They could not even testify in a court of law. Okay? So they had no credibility. But God says, listen, I'll give you credibility. Take a look at Luke chapter 2, verse 17. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And they went around, and everyone who heard became a Christ follower. And that's not what it says. It says, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Some believed it, some didn't. But they went and shared it. You want to be a better sharer? Be a better obeyer. Obey God. God comes through. You see more of God at work. And then you have more to share. I think I should share more. You know what you should do? You should obey more. And then the sharing is much easier. God prompts you to share. There's a great verse. This is a December 2014 challenge, okay? Some of you, you're going to invite people to Christmas Eve, and they're not going to want to come. Some of you, you're going to invite people to Christmas Eve, and they're going to come, and it'll surprise you. I never thought you would come, okay? I thought they would come, but they end up not coming. It's not the way that works, but these people, no way, and then they show up, yeah? Take a look at Ecclesiastes 11, verse 6. This is a December 2014 challenge for Grace Point Church. In the morning, sow your seed, and at the evening, withhold not your hand. Keep throwing out that seed. For you do not know which will prosper, which will bear fruit, this or that, or whether both alike will be fruitful, will be good. Sow your seed this month. Invite people to church. Invite people to the musical. Engage. This is the month where it's almost politically correct to invite people to church because Christmas stuff, yeah? So God prompts you to share. One last time. If you're having a hard time sharing, you have not experienced as much of God as He wants you to experience. It's been dry. Why on earth would you share with someone if it's not working for you? Yeah? So walk with the Lord. Experience God. And there will be something, fire in your bones, Jeremiah said. I can't keep my mouth shut. God will prompt you to share if you do the first five. And then number seven, I love this. Some of you, I just don't worship well. I'm not like these other people. I just have a hard time worshiping. You know why you have a hard time worshiping? I don't care if you sing on key. That's not worship. That's the gifted people, okay? And then the rest of us, okay? You know worshiping? Worshiping is surrendering afresh to God. You know why we have a hard time doing that? If you have a hard time worshiping, you're having a hard time obeying. Because here's what happens. When you obey God, God works in you, matures you, moves you, and you respond to Him in worship. Take a look at Luke 2:20, last verse on your outline. Luke 2:20. And then after all this, and the shepherds returned. Where? Returned to their boring jobs. Some of you thinking, well, God will just move me out of everything that's not boring. That's not true. They went right back to work, the smelly sheep, but they were changed. Their circumstances didn't change, but they changed to be better worshipers. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. You want to increase your worship? Obey God more. Trust God more. And I tell you, I'm speaking. God is speaking to me as well. And these opportunities are not just for them on a hillside. Their opportunities are for us. Bow your heads, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this word that is old, but yet afresh. Thank you for this story that's thousands of years old, that shouts to us today as to how we can engage you, be moved by you, trust you. Father, I pray that more God opportunities would be grasped by everyone here this coming season of Christmas. God, I pray that you'd move us to obey you. I pray you'd move us to represent you. But may this month be a month of dedication where you, God, would have your way. Somehow, Lord, in this message, speak to all of us that we could take some truth home and walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.